This is Rising Up with Sonali, and I'm your host, Sonali Kolhatkar. Our radio show is heard on Pacifica stations nationwide, and you can watch our TV show on Free Speech TV and on our website. With the stroke of a pen, President Trump this week reversed hard-won victories against two major oil pipeline projects, the Keystone XL and Dakota Access Pipelines. In response, activists with Greenpeace scaled a construction crane near the White House on Wednesday morning with the word resist, a promise of renewed activism. The indigenous-led resistance to the Dakota Access Pipeline in particular was the most important national struggle of 2016, with thousands of people camping out at Standing Rock, North Dakota, facing arrests, rubber bullets, water cannons, and more. My guest is Candy Mossett. She is the Native Energy and Climate Campaign Organizer with Indigenous Rising, a project of the Indigenous Environmental Network. Welcome to the program, Candy.
Thank you for having me here. Thanks.
So even before these executive orders were signed, I understand that people continued to gather at Standing Rock. And just this past weekend, there were quite a number of arrests. Can you bring us up to speed on what has happened since the sort of major media spotlight moved away after President Obama refused to allow a permit for the Dakota Access Pipeline last year?
Well, actually, I just want to clarify a couple of things. A lot of people have been using that language, executive order, but he did not sign executive orders for Dakota Access and Keystone XL. They were memorandums, which is one tier down from an actual an executive order. And I think it's really important for us to understand that in terms of the legality that we will, the legal issues that we'll be facing as we continue to move forward, because there are definite attacks on treaty rights, sovereign rights, human rights, and we will be looking to our legal system to continue to fight back against Dakota Access Pipeline and, in fact, Keystone XL pipelines as well. And it's not something that, particularly with Keystone XL, that's going to happen overnight. We had a very strong showing of people in Keystone XL, which is why we won that battle. And we won it once and we'll win it again, even in a Trump administration. So the Dakota Access Pipeline, this isn't a shock. This isn't a surprise. We knew that the Trump administration, you know, ever since November, when we heard the news of the election results, we were standing there. I remember on Media Hill at the camp, and it was like, oh boy, you know, we have a battle on our hands. And so even though we celebrated for one day on December 4th, we knew that this was coming in a Trump presidency. And so we're prepared. People at the camp have been, there's probably about 500 people that have been there throughout the winter and now more or are on the way. We did put out a camp statement encouraging people and individuals, especially the ones that we trained. We had to have trained up at least 10,000 people that came through to go back into the communities where they are, because that is what's going to take in a Trump administration in this struggle, is to really push back and fight back where you are, take that fire and reignite it where you are. We do have people currently that are moving to higher ground. We are still concerned for the flooding in the spring. That wasn't just something that we had made up. We do know that there is going to be flooding, and so we're moving on up to higher ground and re-strategizing around what this is going to look like and sort of waiting for, you know, the Army Corps of Engineers' next move and what it is that they're going to do, because they don't have to make a decision tomorrow because this memorandum was signed by Donald Trump. So we do have people that are taking actions throughout their own communities. We do have some that are coming to the camp. But given what we know, we are in a pattern where we're encouraging people to fight where they are. There's been a call out in South Dakota for people to come and stand against Keystone XL, should anything surface on that again. And I think just Native nations across the country have been coming together in response to a Donald Trump presidency to say that we will band together as nations in this country and make a significant change using our treaty rights and the legal system to change things.
Now, Trump was asked about the Standing Rock Sioux tribe and protesters by a reporter, and he simply ignored the question, apparently just looked away and ignored the question. Later, his press spokesperson, White House Press Secretary Sean Spicer, did try to address it, saying, well, he's going to sit down and talk with everybody. But no matter how much power Trump thinks he has, there is a legal right that the Standing Rock Sioux tribe has to that land, right? I mean, he can't undo that legal right, although, of course, his predecessors have tried and many times succeeded in undermining treaty rights.
I think it's just evident that he just doesn't know what he's doing. I mean, he had made promises, it seems, to executives during his campaign, which then they funded him. It's no secret that Kelsey Warren, the CEO of Energy Transfer Partners, gave him at least $100,000 during his campaign. And so in that typical negative political fashion, he is trying to pay back something which he doesn't really know what he's doing. So we do have a lot of legal representation. We do have the Fort Laramie Treaties of 1851 and 1868. In addition, we have the Standing Rock Sioux tribe that is fighting back. There will be legal matters that will be taken. And so it's all a matter of, and we do have the water protectors. I mean, don't get me wrong. There are people that are willing and able to go to the sites and to physically say they're going to get in front of any drilling that might happen. That is going to occur. The thing we have to be very careful about is that the state of North Dakota has already been absolutely horrific. And the Morton County Sheriff's Department has been horrific when it has come to the way they've treated the water protectors. And that was underneath an Obama administration. We do know now that the Morton County Sheriff's Department has put a call out to Donald Trump asking for reinforcements there at Standing Rock and more support. So we have to be very careful about the water protectors because we're scared and fearful for people's lives. It isn't just a dramatic statement to say that. We do have a bill currently in North Dakota that they're looking at passing, which will allow people to essentially get away with murder if they accidentally hit and injure or kill a water protector or anybody that is protesting. They might not be held liable for it. So that is kind of what we're dealing with in the state of North Dakota, and we don't want to intentionally draw people into harm without them fully understanding and fully aware of what the situation is like on the ground. So we're really looking at fires ignited in all the communities, taking action, pulling in your tribal leaders or state or federal officials, wherever you may be, to go that route and to go the legal route. And it's because we know that Donald Trump doesn't understand what it is he's doing.
Right. And we know that Energy Transfer Partners, the company building the pipeline, hired private security companies last year, sicked dogs on protesters, people were bitten. So yeah, the drama and the violence was already so high under an Obama administration. The stakes seem much higher under Trump. Now, what do you make of Trump's conditions that he has put on these two pipeline projects? That the pipelines have to be constructed by American workers, and that the steel that will be used in the pipelines will have to be either American-made or manufactured. Is this his attempt to pit union workers against indigenous communities and environmentalists?
It very well could be. He has used it, you know, he's using underhanded tactics. And so the thing about unions is that we've had people standing at Standing Rock with us because they understand and know that we do care about the jobs. Which is something that he's touted for both of these pipelines. He's talking about the jobs that will be created, but he caught himself and had to say pre-construction or during construction phase jobs. And so a couple of things about the steel. It's interesting. I wonder if he's going to then force Energy Transfer Partners to go ahead and dig up everything that they had put in, which is, you know, fine by us. Take that steel out and get American-made steel in there. That's what I mean when I say it doesn't seem like he knows what he's doing.
And on Keystone XL, that is a project by a Canadian company, right? For oil that
exactly.
I think, yes, I mean, so much for America.
Exactly. He says, we're going to negotiate under our terms. And so the jobs, again, it's going to create, and I'm being, you know, very giving here in the jobs, anywhere from 60 to 80 permanent, and that's at the high end for combined Dakota Access and Keystone XL pipelines. In addition to that, when you look at the Bakken Shale Oil Formation and you look at the tar sands where these oil streams are coming from, ground zero, the impact places, the production is down. People have been pulling out. They have been moving away from this industry. And effectively, what he's doing is pitting pipelines against each other, because don't forget, we still have the Trans-Pecos pipeline in Texas, the Sable pipeline in Florida, Line 3 and 66, the Enbridge pipelines in Canada. There will be all of these pipelines and then nothing to put through them, because the fossil fuel industry and extreme energy extraction is on its way out. There's no question, which is why we're fracking, which is why we have tar sands oil and all these crazy extreme energy extraction policies, because the oil is harder to get to. It's a finite resource. But what we've been pushing all along and saying, in fact, for over 500 years, is we cannot allow continued capitalistic models of thinking to say we're going to dig and dig and dig until it's gone. Because we're up against what we're doing to ourselves and the planet. Many people know that oil leaks. I mean, these pipes are known for their leaking. In fact, Keystone 1, which already runs through North Dakota, had 14 leaks in its first year, and they touted all of this technology that they're touting now for these two pipelines when it comes to safety. And so we cannot believe them when they spew the same rhetoric around safety and regulations and blah, 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 blah. That shouldn't even be the conversation. And so I think there are multiple fronts that we are coming at this Trump administration with. It has to do with mass civil disobedience, mass nonviolent direct action, legal terms in the way of all of the rights we have for our sovereignty, our treaty rights, our human rights, all the way up to the United Nations level and back down to the grassroots. Every single tool in the toolbox is going to be used. And you know, that is what we've been preparing for.
So
we won't negotiate. He used the word negotiate with the tribes. There's no negotiating with our lives and for our water.
How important has this struggle, particularly against the Dakota Access Pipeline, been for unity among indigenous nations in the United States? It seems as though last year, the solidarity, not just between environmental groups and indigenous groups, but even within indigenous communities, seemed to, you know, be stronger than we've seen in a really long time.
Mm-hmm. And it still is. I mean, just because the media doesn't cover something doesn't mean that heart and that spirit isn't there. It is. We are so strong as a result of a Trump administration. It's kind of crazy because him being in there is causing this revolution. And people that, even though we're like-minded, that didn't necessarily work together on campaigns before, are working together now and coming together. And with the tribal nations, we've had over 300 tribal nations that have signed on to support Standing Rock. But worldwide, we have over 700 indigenous nations that have come to support Standing Rock. And so the next thing is this unification of the nations, which just gives me the goosebumps just to say it now, because it's something I had dreams about before, was this when we'll come together in unity. And it is happening now as a result, you know, of this thing, this Donald Trump thing that has occurred in our country, which is just crazy. And he's a known climate denier. And so we are here to talk about his lack of education, his lack of ability to understand the rights that we have and the way that we will fight to protect our rights and our livelihoods and protect our future generations. I think that he may be underestimating the power of the indigenous nations, our treaty rights, our right to exist and thrive on a planet that actually impacts everyone, even him and his family. And as a businessman, I thought he would be smarter and that he would look at the models of economic development when it comes to renewable energy versus the fossil fuel industry, and clearly see that the renewable energy economy is the way forward, not only for the future and for the environment, but economically.
Right, for workers. Right. And I mean, we don't know how successful a businessman he is, since he refuses to release his tax returns. And maybe there is something he's trying to hide, because it would be really interesting to see his voters and supporters' reactions if it turns out that he might owe more than he's actually made. Let's also then talk about the kinds of solidarity you expect from non-Indigenous Americans, Candy. One of the things that I noticed at the Women's March in Los Angeles, where we are based, over the last weekend, happened was a lot of people speaking out and saying in their signs and even on their own bodies, no DAPL, hashtag no DAPL, that has become this kind of rallying cry, one of the list of things that people demand. How important is that non-Indigenous solidarity as well?
It is so important. And I think that the marches were beautiful. I was at the march in DC. I mean, it was interesting. It was really crowded. And there was a couple of logistical dynamics, things that happened. But to take that momentum and say marches are great, marches are awesome. And for many people, that might have been their first sort of interaction in the world of direct action. And so just to make sure that they take that momentum and continue to push that momentum forward, because we heard it through the streets in DC. We support Standing Rock. Stand with Standing Rock. They got on the stage and talked about support. And so the call to actions are coming. And so, you know, the tribal representatives, the Standing Rock Sioux Tribe, is putting out the call to actions, Indigenous Environmental Network, for the specific tangent things that people can do beyond the divestment. But we are still pushing for defund DAPL. Take your money out of those banks that are funding this. And so defunddapl.org is another place to go to. But we're going to continue to keep the pressure up. The mandate for the entire presidency and for anybody that's an elected official is to listen to what your nation is asking of you. If he refuses to listen, we can always talk about legal ways to... You know, there's a word out there. I'll just say it. Impeachment, you know, you gotta look at the legal aspects of this. And if he's not being totally honest with the American people, it will come back on him.
And if our audience missed our coverage of impeachment efforts against Donald Trump, do visit our website at risingupwithsonali.com and type in the search word impeachment. You'll find our story on that front. And by the way, speaking of divesting from the pipeline, Shailene Woodley, one prominent activist and actress who's expressed strong solidarity with the movement at Sundance this week, used her platform to call on one of the banking sponsors of that festival to divest from the Dakota Access Pipeline. So certainly that's a really important part of the fight as well. Candy, give out a website where people, or even your favorite websites, on where you think people can go to for really good news coverage of these particular struggles and fights.
Well, if you want to follow the legal aspect, the legal timeline, a really good site is earthjustice.org. Under their frequently asked questions about Standing Rock. It's a great legal timeline starting back in August to, 2014 when the tribe first said no. And so you can visit us at ienearth.org. We have our indigenousrising.org website that people can continue to visit. Our Facebook pages, if you visit Sacred Stone Camp, there are updates that are coming from there, as well as Indigenous Environmental Network. And again, defunddapl.org. DAPL. That is where you can go to get the list of the 17 banks that are funding and, through Energy Transfer Partners. But look out for the next step further, which is to defund the fossil fuel industry. So people have power. Let's use our power and mobilize and take the money out of the banks, because that's what they're using to leverage these billion-dollar projects. Don't be afraid to stand up and to say, I actually do have much more power than I thought I did as an individual, because we really do.
Candy, thank you so much for spending this time with us and joining us. And we hope to have you back on again in the future.
Yeah, I hope so too. And everybody, before I go, the number one thing I like to let people know, beyond everything I just said, is there is so much power in prayer. And wherever you are, whatever it is you're doing, if you could just send even a quick prayer, however you pray for the water protectors, for the people of the world, for the goodness of the world, because that is kind of like our secret weapon. Our power of prayer and our ceremony is something that this administration doesn't understand. And so please continue to send those prayers for us. Matsigirads, thank you.
Candy Mossett is the Native Energy and Climate Campaign Organizer with Indigenous Rising, a project of the Indigenous Environmental Network. This is Rising Up with Sonali. I'm your host, Sonali Kolhatkar. You can find our interviews online at risingupwithsonali.com and subscribe to our podcast on iTunes.